Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I wish to read to you three passages. They have something in common. The first from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The second is in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the floods, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the third is from Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Moses speaking, I call heaven and earth to record to you against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. In each of these passages, Elijah and Joshua and Moses were urging the people of Israel to make a religious decision and to leave that state of indecision. Christ also makes demands on mankind to make a decision. In fact, friend, the very nature of Christ and the nature of his faith, the faith of which he is the founder, requires and makes necessary the making of a decision. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Again he said, He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Matthew 12 and verse 30. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul, why persuade men? Because there is the necessity to make a decision regarding Christ in view of God's wrath against evil. It is necessary to make the right decision based upon evidence supplied in God's Word. The very question that Jesus once asked, Who do men say that I am, makes a decision inescapable. He asked, What think ye of Christ? That's a question we all must eventually answer. Now, most people like to think of themselves as being reasonable and rational, intelligent people. And God has given man the ability to think and to reason and to weigh evidence and to make decisions. We're free moral beings. We have the power of choice. Some may think they can dwell in the realm of indecision regarding Christ, but by attempting to be neutral, they've made a decision not to be for him, which Jesus says is the same thing as being against him. There is no realm where we make no decision. We have to make a decision one way or another regarding Christ. But some would like to leave things hanging without making a commitment one way or another. In this sense, they're in a state of indecision. But we would persuade people that any attempt to remain undecided is irrational, it is unreasonable, it's out of character for anyone who would claim to be able to consider evidence and decide on the basis of that evidence. Let us consider some reasons why attempts at indecision are unreasonable. We realize, do we not, that the creature is not greater than the Creator. The created has a duty to the Creator. We are the creature, having been created by God, the Creator. Is it not reasonable, therefore, for the creature to give respect to the one who has created him? We're in God's image. That is, he is spirit and we are spirit. We have no right to ignore him. We're obligated to honor and worship him. It is, as Paul said, in him that we live and move and have our being. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Service to God is a reasonable service, Romans 12 and verse 1. And it is reasonable to decide for Christ. because until we come to Christ, we cannot honor God the Creator. John wrote that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. And John wrote again in 1 John 2:23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Friends, staying away from Christ is to stay away from God, which is not a reasonable position, seeing who God is and who we are, His created. Is it not reasonable to prepare for that which is inevitable and inescapable? We even prepare for what might be in our future, and it just might be in our future, but we try to prepare for it. How much more ought we prepare for that which will certainly be in our future? We know life is uncertain, and death is sure, James 4 and verse 17. And after death, there's going to be the resurrection. There'll be the judgment. There'll be eternity. Let me read to you a whole array of scriptures that documents this from Scripture itself. Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Paul said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Our Lord spoke, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Paul said, because he, God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. Once more Jesus said, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Listening friend, these things are all before each one of us. They are inevitable. They are inescapable. Is it not reasonable, therefore, to make preparation for them? And so long as one remains apart from Christ, he's not made the proper preparation. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. To attempt a state of religious indecision is unreasonable because of the danger involved to the soul. When one is out of Christ, he is lost in sin. And if one dies out of Christ, he'll be lost eternally. There is no second chance. Reasonable people do not subject that which is valuable to unnecessary danger. Reasonable people do not play with high-voltage wires or poison or dynamite or such things as that. We do not act carelessly with life. But even when risks are necessary, we're cautious. But the soul is worth more than all the world, Jesus said, Matthew 16:26. And even though God is long-suffering, he's not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. But there's coming an end to our opportunities to be saved. We need to realize that each refusal of Christ makes it easier to refuse him again and again and again. And we can become so hardened that even the precious gospel of love will make no imprint upon us. Is it not reasonable to take special precaution with the immortal soul? Can we not see how unreasonable it is to remain apart from Christ? Religious indecision is unreasonable because too much is involved for one to stay away from the Savior. There is more involved than what one might at first consider. Some may think they are dealing with only this life, but they're also concerned with the life after this one. They may think they're concerned only with the events in time, but they're actually concerned with eternity. And what one does in this life determines where he will be in the next life. Man is not all that is involved. Deity is also involved. And just the person in indecision is not all that there is involved. Also, his or her loved ones, his or her neighbors, his or her children are involved. Friend, do you realize that if you are lost, you will not go to hell without influencing others to go there also? Just as if you are saved, you will not go to heaven without influencing others to go to heaven. When one remains out of Christ, his influence is against his own salvation, but also against the salvation of those around him. Are you satisfied with the direction of your influence? Therefore, what you think of Jesus, how you react to his commands, it's very significant. It's far-reaching. And it's unreasonable for a person to have a duty in life to others and to God and to himself, and then to ignore that duty. Yet only in Christ can we fulfill our purpose in life and discharge our duty. The reasonable course is to come to Christ. I would plead with every person, young and old, everybody that is accountable before God, and persuade you from the Scripture, as well as from rational, reasonable, sensible, logical, intelligent points of view, to decide for Christ and then become a Christian on the basis of one's own sense of responsibility to others and the reasonableness to respond to such a manifestation of love that God has shown toward man. I plead with you, come to Christ. God loves you. Christ died for you. Provision for your salvation has been made. Salvation is offered to you. Blessings are yours for the taking. What more can you expect to have manifested before you that God loves you? A knowledge of the way of salvation, of course, is essential. But having that knowledge will not save you standing alone. The recognition of the need of salvation and compliance with the conditions of salvation are before you. You must believe and obey in repentance and confession of Christ and baptism into Christ for the remission of sins. And I am sure if I were before an audience and I passed a sheet of paper around and handed each one the pencil and asked for the names of those who wanted to go to heaven, and then would read aloud all those names written on the papers, would your name be written there? More than likely, every single person who's hearing these words would want his name included. And the Scripture says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it, that is to heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Revelation 21, verse 27. You see, friend, God has a book upon which are written the names of the redeemed. And as the song asks, is your name written there? Only those whose garments are made white in the blood of the Lamb, which is Christ, have their names in the book of life. What of your name, dear friend? Once Alexander the Great was asked how he was able to conquer the known world, and he responded by not delaying. And this is what the Scripture teaches concerning your salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today can be the day of your redemption if you will only believe and obey the gospel. And to attempt to remain in indecision, it means you've decided to reject Christ. And there's no way for you to be mistaken about the destiny of those who persist in their rejection of the Son of God. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.